lying between the United States and Europe, respectively signaled the location of the monster to each other at 42 degrees 15 minutes north latitude and 60 degrees 35 minutes west longitude. They both estimated the minimum length of the beast at more than 350 feet. The largest whales, those which frequent those parts of the sea around the Aleutian Islands, have never exceeded a length of more than 180 feet, if that. News of these events spread around the world like wildfire. The question of the monster inflamed all minds. They sang of it in cafes, ridiculed it in the papers, and even represented it on the stage. Every conceivable story and explanation circulated regarding it. There were unending arguments between the believers and the unbelievers in the societies of the wise and the scientific journals. While everyone was quarreling, the sightings of the unknown object suddenly stopped. By the beginning of the year 1867, talk of the creature had finally faded, and the public's imagination had moved on to other fancies. Then, on the 13th of April, 1867,
We are sinking!
The Scotia, of the Cunard Company's line, traveling at a speed of 30 knots, was struck on her quarter just aft of the port paddle. Captain Anderson went down immediately into the hold.
Harper, watch out! Stop that water!
Calm yourself, man. Calm yourself. Stop the engines at once. Find out what the extent of the damages are, then seal off the fifth compartment. Quickly, man, quickly!
Captain! Captain! The leak cannot be stopped. There's a large hole. It's 2 yards in diameter at the ship's bottom. Fortunately, the damaged compartment did not house the boilers, or they would have been immediately extinguished.
What caused the damage?
I can't say for sure, Captain, but the hull appears to have been punctured by a sharp object.
Have you sealed up the compartment?
Oh, yes, sir, yes. It's taken a lot of water, but I believe we'll be able to make it back to port.
The Scotia slowly made its way back to Liverpool and was put in dry dock for repairs. Upon closer examination, the engineers could scarcely believe what they found. At 2.5 yards below watermark was a perfectly defined hole in the form of an isosceles triangle. Whatever instrument had produced this perforation had not only penetrated the 1 3/8 inch thick hull with terrific strength, but had withdrawn itself by a backwards motion. From this moment on, all casualties at sea which could not be accounted for were put down to the monster. The public demanded sharply that the seas should, at any price, be relieved of this formidable creature. Perhaps you are wondering at this point who I am and how I became involved in this most fantastic story. My name is Pierre Aronnax. I am frequently addressed as Professor, because I am the assistant professor at the Museum of Natural History in Paris. Although I had been very aware of the so-called monster and of the events leading up to the accident involving the Scotia, I did not become personally involved until my arrival in New York, where the debate was at its height. Many theories had been formed. On one side, those who were for a sea monster of colossal strength. On the other, those who were for a submarine vessel of enormous size and power. The truth is that I had gained a special reputation in this rather obscure branch of natural history with my publication in France of a work of 2 volumes entitled Mysteries of the Great Submarine Grounds. This mystery had puzzled me from the beginning. My attempts to come to some logical conclusion on the matter had been futile. I jumped from one extreme to the other just like everyone else. I had avoided the press for as long as I could, but once in New York, I found myself being driven into a corner.
Professor, is it your belief that this monster is some sort of man-made vessel?
The question of such a vessel is, where, when, and how is it built? And how could its construction have been kept a secret?
Couldn't a government build and possess this type of destructive war machine?
Yes, it is possible, but unlikely. Without transatlantic communications, suffering, and the safety of the public interest in question, the Declaration of Governments have openly stated that they are in no way responsible for these incidents.
But sir, and what about a private party?